But Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to continue our study with this book here. We've looked at verses 1 through 14, and I pray that's been a blessing to you to see all of the blessings that you have in Jesus Christ. So I'll review those quickly. In verse number 4, we saw the blessing of being chosen. In verse number 5, we saw the blessing of being predestinated. In verse 6, we saw the blessing of being accepted. In verse 7, we saw the blessing of redemption and forgiveness. In verse 7, we saw the blessing of an inheritance. And in verse 13, we saw the blessing of the Holy Spirit's sealing. I don't know what you're going through, but if you read that, that will encourage you. You may not have a lot physically in this life, but you have been blessed spiritually. You have all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. We come now to verses 15 through 23, which make up the next section in this book. And this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers. And again, we're going to take it nice and slow, and we'll read it all tonight, but we'll look at this over the next few weeks together. So Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse number 15. Paul writes, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Let's pray, and we'll begin looking at these verses tonight. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for an opportunity we have to gather, to once again open your word, to read it together, and Lord, to learn from the example of Paul and the Ephesians, as we will tonight. Lord, this great prayer that Paul had for these believers and their great testimony, help us over the next few weeks to understand what you would have for us from this great prayer that we have preserved for us. Help us to be people of prayer as we ought. Help us to have that good testimony that you want us to have as well. We thank you for all of your blessings to us. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Just another opportunity we have to gather together and to praise and exalt him. Help us now to learn from him, to learn from his word. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So primarily verses 17 through 23, we have Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers. It's the first of two that we have here in this book. There are four things primarily that Paul prayed for when it came to these believers. I'll point them out. We're not going to get into them tonight, but we'll point them out. The first, verse number 17, Paul prayed that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What does he mean by that? He expands on it at the beginning of verse number 18. He says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Then in verse 18, the rest of verse number 18, we have the next two things that Paul prayed for when it came to these believers. He prayed that they may know what is the hope of his calling, and he prays that they may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then verse number 19, we have the final thing he prayed for them about, and that was that they may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. And those are some really powerful things, and I can't wait to get into those things. I think they will help us to pray more as we ought to pray. But those four things is what Paul prayed for when it came to these believers there in the church of Ephesus. What I want to look at tonight, though, is primarily verses 15 and 16, more of the introduction to what we see here in the prayer. I want to see what we can learn from Paul and the Ephesians. So let's read verse 15 and 16 again, and we'll kind of get into what we find here in these verses. Verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Here's what we learn about the Apostle Paul. He was a man who consistently prayed for his brothers and sisters in Christ. Consistently prayed for his brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't think we fully understand the benefit to praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. I think we don't pray for each other as we ought to pray. And sometimes we say, well, I don't know what to pray for. We're going to look at four things over the next few weeks that even though you may not know what is specifically going on in the life of your brothers and sisters, there are four things that Paul brings out here that every believer needs prayed about for. Unless those four things are things you don't have to worry about in your life, those four things we can pray for each other about. And this is what we see all throughout the life of Paul. We're going to read some more scriptures here in just a second. But you're going to find over and over in the life of Paul that he consistently prayed for his brothers and sisters in Christ. It was one of the foremost things in his minds. When he heard about his brothers and sisters, he made sure to pray about them. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Romans. We're kind of just going to get an overview here of Paul and his prayer life. And we're going to see that he consistently prayed for his brothers and sisters in Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. I would assume most of us would say that the Apostle Paul was a really good Christian. And you say, well, what do really good Christians do? They pray for their brothers and sisters in Christ. They make it a consistent part of their daily life. Romans chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 4. Paul says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy." Paul says, every time I remembered you, I prayed for you. I've been trying to do that a little bit more as I drive down the road or whatever. If somebody in our church pops into my head, I just pray. Paul said, upon every remembrance of you, I prayed. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse number 3. Again, notice the testimony of Paul here. He could honestly say, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Could you honestly say that to your brothers and sisters in Christ? Praying always for you. Praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's interesting to me, almost every letter that we have written by Paul, again, not everyone, but almost every letter we have written by Paul, he's telling people, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. Aren't you encouraged when someone comes up to you and says, I've been praying for you? How much more should we do that, though? We all have struggles. We all have needs. We all need spiritual growth, even if we don't have struggles or needs. And how easy it is to see your brother or sister Christ in church and honestly say, I prayed for you this week. Or to get on your phone and throughout the week say, I prayed for you. How encouraging would that be? This is what Paul is doing here. 2 Timothy 1, verse number 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Night and day, he said, I've been praying for you, Timothy. One more, Philemon. Philemon, pick any chapter you want. Verse number 4. Paul says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Paul was a man of prayer. I believe that was one of the reasons he was such a great man of God. Besides the fact he was an apostle, God's Spirit was with him, he was a man of prayer. And I believe he was an effective man because he prayed always for his brothers and sisters in Christ. In Ephesians 1, verse 16, Paul tells these believers that he ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. It's interesting, too, that when Paul prays, he doesn't just pray for their needs. We read about that in verses 17 through 23. But notice what he says again in there in verse number 16. He ceased not to give thanks for you. He prayed and thanked God for his brothers and sisters in Christ. I think we would have better relationships with each other if we prayed and thanked God more for each other. You know why we don't have the best relationship at times with our brothers and sisters? Okay, so they did something to wrong you. We understand that. Some anger can come about that. But if you want to get over that anger and that bitterness and that resentment of what that brother or that sister did to you, you know what you can do to help with that. Pray and thank God for them. You're like, you don't know that person. You don't know this person. There's no reason to give thanks. There's absolutely reason to give thanks. Sit down and think about it. And then pray and thank God. There may not be reconciliation with that person if that person doesn't want reconciliation, but I will tell you, your bitterness and your anger towards that person will go away. Amen. The more you pray and thank God for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we see that Paul made it a habit, you could say it like this, a spiritual discipline to consistently pray for and thank God for his brothers and sisters in Christ. So we see that Paul was a man of consistent prayer for believers. What do we learn about the Ephesians? Notice what he says back in verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. You know what we know about the Ephesians? They had a good testimony. Paul said, I heard some really good stuff about you. Now, whether we like it or not, and we have to be careful about this, but whether we like it or not, people are going to talk about us. Now, we shouldn't talk negatively and gossip about each other, but people's names come up all the time. Oh, so-and-so. What would people say when your name's brought up? would they say, man, I heard of his faith and I heard of his love unto all the saints? Or they have to say, yeah, what about this thing to talk about somebody else? These people, Paul said, I heard. So people were telling him, there's some good stuff coming out of the church at Ephesus. Those believers there have a faith in Jesus Christ and a love unto all the saints. They had a good testimony. I'm reminded of Proverbs 22:1, where the Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. That church in Ephesus had a good testimony. I want our church to have a good testimony. I want you to have a personally good testimony. And when Paul heard about them, when their name got brought up to them, it was nothing but their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their love unto all the saints. I don't want to focus on that second one just for a few minutes here. When their love is being spoken about, notice that the Bible doesn't say their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love unto God. It talks about their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love unto all the saints. Paul wasn't overjoyed and thankful about their love for God, even though we're going to see in just a second, they did have love for God. Paul was overjoyed and thankful that they had love unto all the saints. Not just a few of them in their church, not just the ones they like, not just the ones who love them in return. They had love unto all the saints. Perhaps because I'm a pastor, I think I can understand this joy and thanksgiving that Paul had in his heart. It hurts me when I hear things going on between brothers and sisters in Christ. But you know what causes me to have great joy? When I hear good things going on between brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul started this church. For 3 years, he was at the church of Ephesus. Poured his heart and soul into those people. Left because that was his ministry, to go and travel all around and start other churches. He's in prison. But word gets to Paul. That church you started so many years ago, they haven't just fizzled off. They haven't turned into like the church at Corinth with all this division and strife. And no doubt Paul had heartache over all of that that he heard. But news got to Paul. Those believers in Ephesus, they have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and they have a love unto all the saints. And as he's sitting there in the jailhouse, it brought joy to his heart to hear that his children were walking in truth. They had gotten what Christianity is all about. And Christianity is about loving your brothers and sisters in Christ as Christ has loved you. Let me show you a couple scriptures on this point. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4. How do we know when we've gotten true Christianity? 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit, so if I repeat this later, that'll be okay. But sometimes we think we've gotten true Christianity when our knowledge has increased. And I am all for your knowledge in the Word of God increasing. It absolutely should increase. The Bible says, grow in grace and in knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you can know everything about everything, at least you think you know everything about everything, and you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ, you've missed the point of Christianity. Because the point of Christianity is not a head knowledge of everything. It's having love toward your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when Paul heard these believers had love unto all the saints, he thanked God. You know why? They had got it. It wasn't just a knowledge in their head, and we're all for the knowledge in our heads. But they had gotten it here in their hearts, and it was shown through their love unto all the saints. 1 John 4, let's start reading verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Skip down to verse number 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You know what the point of Christianity is? Yes, to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, to know more about him. But then, to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. All of them. Love unto all the saints. And here John is saying your love for God should and will manifest itself in your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when Paul heard that in churches that he had started, these people were loving each other as they ought to love each other, he thanked God they were getting it. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We spent a lot of time on this a few weeks back, so we're not going to spend too much time. But notice again what Jesus says here. These are powerful words. John 13, 34. What will be our defining characteristic? Or at least what should be our defining characteristic. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know what Jesus said would be the defining feature that people would be able to look at a group of people and know these are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Their love for each other. The world has a love, but it is not a lasting love. It's a very fickle love. Because we as human beings do things that we ought not do and we wrong each other. And you know what the world does when somebody wrongs them? Whoosh, whoosh. Carve them right out of their life. You know what believers do when somebody wrongs them? We love, we seek for reconciliation, we forgive. That's the response. And Jesus says people should be looking at you and not seeing perfect people who never get in arguments or who never sin against each other, but see people who have sinned against each other and then still loving each other. The world would know that we are his followers by our love one for another, a selfless, sacrificial, serving love that should be the defining characteristic of Christ's church. In Ephesians chapter 1, this is what we see Paul talking about with the Ephesian believers. They had a selfless, sacrificial, serving love, such a testimony of it, that it was being spread around. It finally got its way to the Apostle Paul, and Paul said, I cease not to give thanks to God for you when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love unto all the saints. One of the things I would love our church to continue to grow in is not just in knowledge, but in love for all the saints. I want people to come to our church and then leave our church and say, wow, there's some faith in the Lord Jesus there, and there's some love unto all the saints there. May that be our testimony corporately as a church, and may it be individually as believers. Faith in Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints. I looked up that phrase, love unto all the saints. I like looking up certain phrases and seeing if they're used again. That exact phrase is not used again in the New Testament, but that wording, or very similar wording, is used by Paul two other times. I want to just show you these. Colossians chapter 1, and then go back to Philemon chapter 1. We kind of read those already, but I just want to point out these again to you. Colossians 1 and Philemon 1. Because when it came to these two points primarily, Paul was always overjoyed and thankful when he heard these two things taking place in the life of a believer. We'll see that with Philemon. And then corporately in the life of a church. And we saw that with Ephesus. But notice as well with Colossians, or the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, we read verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now notice verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. And then Philemon chapter 1. Again, I read verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. But notice again verse number 5, that same wording. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Paul was always moved with thanks when he heard of the believer's faith and love toward all the saints. Why did that move Paul to immediately give thanks to God for those believers? Because they were understanding what Christianity is about. They were getting it. Again, if you've been in any type of position where you're trying to teach somebody something and they're just not getting it, it's frustrating. We love them, but it's frustrating. You're not getting it. But when they finally get it, there's a joy and a thanksgiving that comes that, yes, they finally got it. And in here, every time, Paul says primarily, I give thanks for you. It's in response to two things he's hearing. Their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their love unto all the saints. And because I think it's his pastor's heart, they're getting it. And he gives thanks to God for it. Again, I believe the Christian life is not about how much knowledge you have of end time events. Even though it's important to have knowledge of end time events. It's not about how much knowledge we have of the giants and Nephilim and Genesis chapter 6. Even though I think you should know about that. These things are important because they're in the Bible and we should love God's word. But you can have a knowledge of those things, yet come to the point in your life that you don't really love your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I say you're missing the point of all of that knowledge. I'm glad you have that knowledge. And you should increase in knowledge. But if that knowledge doesn't drive you to love your brothers and sisters in Christ more, then you're missing the point of the knowledge. Knowing more about God and more about Jesus Christ and more about His Word should lead us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ in a greater and deeper way. If your knowledge increases but your love decreases, you're missing the point of knowledge. But here we see believers in Ephesus, believers in Colossae, Philemon, they were getting it. Their knowledge was increasing in their faith in Jesus Christ, and it evidenced in a great love unto all the saints. So this is what we see here in Ephesians chapter 1 as we begin to look at this prayer. We see Paul, a man of consistent prayer for his brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we see the church of Ephesus filled with believers who are growing in their faith in Jesus Christ and showing and expressing that in their love for all the saints. May all of that be true of us. Be a person who prays, be a person who grows in faith, but make sure you're also a person growing in your love for all the saints. Any thoughts, any comments about that?